Eclipse Aviation's historic agreement with ETURF. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. On Monday, Eclipse Aviation President and CEO Vern Rayburn welcomed reporters to a news conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to announce a deal with ETURF Aviation in Luxembourg, which will make ETURF the single largest shareholder in Eclipse, bring the company $100 million or more in fresh capital, and make ETURF the exclusive Eclipse assembly, sales, maintenance, and training partner for Europe. As part of the arrangement, a factory will be built in Russia, where Eclipse 500s for sale in Russia, Turkey, Europe, and the UK will be assembled from parts sourced through Albuquerque. Yesterday, we heard the company's official announcement. Today, we'll hear the question and answer session between reporters and CEO Vern Rayburn.
Obviously, you shouldn't have no questions because I answered every one of them, but somehow or another, you guys always come up with some questions. So, have any other questions for right now? Andrew, the question was, are we still planning to do manufacturing on the west side? And the answer is absolutely. As I said, and let me reemphasize one more time, no changes whatsoever for our plans here in Albuquerque. We do not have a firm date as to when we'll move this operation to the west side, but frankly, this acceleration of the business plan opens up a lot of opportunities for us, and if anything, I think it will accelerate that move. It's a non-trivial task to go set up another 100-acre facility with all the buildings, and so it will take realistically 2 to 3 years to plan, construct, and implement that move. So it's not going to happen in the next year or so. All those specific plans are still very tentative. ETURF is working on that, and you can expect some announcements here in the next few months as to exactly what's going to happen in the region that they'll happen in Russia. ETURF is now the largest equity investor when this transaction is completed in Eclipse Aviation, but they are still a minority investor. So there is no direct control or change of control with ETURF in terms of them, quote, managing the company. There are going to be no ETURF employees working at Eclipse. There's no change whatsoever in the Eclipse leadership team. So it's really role joining the board as chairman. And from there, it's really a partnership. It is not a joint venture. So we're not merging the companies. There's no intent to merge the companies. But it really is one of those very symbiotic but independent relationships, which, frankly, in my experience, and I think in Roel's experience, we found those kinds of relationships work best because you either, it's a little bit like being half married. You either really merge or you stay independent, and that's the intent, is to stay independent. That's a good question, and the question, just so everybody can hear, is are we concerned about the quality? This is a very interesting deal in the sense that parts will not be produced in Russia. This is actually an assembly deal. So all the parts for every aircraft made in Russia and every aircraft made in Russia will be identical to every aircraft made here. So all the parts come through Albuquerque. Now this is a pretty important point because what it means is we aggregate volume, which is we've been very blunt with our investors, with our customers, with you, the press, is volume is the key to Eclipse's success. So this is another way to drive volume, which is why I call it an acceleration of. Now in an airplane where 90% or so of the cost is in parts and not in labor, providing all the parts from here is one of the most fundamental ways to control quality. Obviously, we will be deeply involved in the startup of and the managing of, because the aircraft will still be built under our type certificate. So we're very confident that we'll be able to build an aircraft that will be indiscernible between aircraft built in Russia and aircraft built in the United States. To some extent, this argument or this question reminds me of some of the questions that were asked of Honda and Nissan and Toyota when they first opened factories here in the United States. And the reality is about 96% that's the number I've seen. I don't know if it's the absolutely correct number. 96% of the Camrys sold here in the United States are made in the United States, as are the Honda Accord. In other words, you can't tell the difference. And we see no reason, and we expect there to be no reason, that that can't be exactly the same on these aircraft in Russia. Andrew, you had a question?
question is, you know, who are we? We are an investment company in a different way than just an investment fund. We invest in, let's say, product-market combinations, particularly into and out of Eastern Europe. And so our financial structure always starts with a base of investors that either invest in a technology or invest in a market or in both. And in this particular case, we actually created a separate investment vehicle for the Eclipse Corporation, which was Eterc Aviation. Our holding, which is Eterc, has several activities in life sciences, in energy. So our overall capital is substantially more than the investment that we've made in Eclipse.
We obviously have some projections and some ideas and some figures, but I don't really want to release those. This is such an exciting new, and I would echo Roel's comments, historic opportunity. Russia is a country that is exploding in a very positive sense, in an economic sense. It doesn't get the press here in the United States that places like China and India get. But the reality is, when it comes particularly to petrodollars, the only place in the world that has more petrodollars than Russia is the Middle East. And it's a country that obviously has gone through some really tough times as they fundamentally changed their economic and government structure. And they're emerging from this phenomenally strong today. There's a whole bunch of places in Russia that need this kind of transportation. We know Europe loves this airplane. We've already sold well over 100 airplanes into Russia. Excuse me, into Western Europe. So I'm unwilling to put out ratios or percentages or numbers, because that's kind of like trying to forecast when explosions are going to happen, because I think that's what's going to happen here. All I know is that we're very optimistic as we start to develop these regions with a partner like Roel and Eterc, that's going to come out to be a pretty big number ultimately. Now, it's not going to happen next year or 2010 or 11. It takes a while for this to happen, but we're pretty optimistic about this.
I want to make one comment that the cooperation with the Russian authorities is actually a government relationship partnership. So it's a public-private partnership between Eterc and the Russian authorities. So just in case you're wondering who are we working with in Russia, it is actually the government authorities themselves.
And let me just make one last comment about this. When I said historic, let me put this in context for you. To the best of our knowledge, and I've done some research on this, we don't think that there's ever been a U.S.-designed and certified aircraft built in Russia, at least legally. There were a couple of instances in World War II which were very interesting. But since then, this will be the first time a U.S. aircraft will have been built in Russia. Now, if you're an aviation historian, that's a profound statement. If you're a fan of or historian of economic and political development, that's a historic statement, because what it means is two previously arch enemies, are truly coming together in very unique and very historic ways. Second, this will be one of the first times that an aircraft built in Russia is going to be sold in Europe. And so there's multiple levels of why this is such a unique relationship, and why it's such an exciting relationship, and why it's so historic as a relationship.
We'll be back with more in a moment from Vern Rayburn of Eclipse and Roel Pieper of Eterc. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. Following Eclipse Aviation's major announcement Monday of a partnership with eTurk, Eclipse President and CEO Vern Rayburn is taking reporter questions. He's just been asked about the target date for production of the Eclipse 500 to begin in Russia.
The question is, what's the target date for the first aircraft? And it's in late 2009. We'll announce a specific date as we move forward. And the question is, why Russia? Let me answer part of that and let Roel answer part of that. We tried to solve these challenges that I mentioned earlier. We did look at a lot of regions of the world. You know, we were in Dubai for the air show. Everybody knows about Dubai and the Middle East. China, India, Singapore. These are all places that we looked and talked to. And I think there's a whole set of reasons, none of which in and of themselves were, this is the absolute center of the deal. I think when you look at both China and India now from a general aviation standpoint as markets, because remember, this is a market-driven deal, both those countries still have a ways to go. There's a lot of excitement about what could happen in China, what could happen in India, because they're obviously massive markets, and that excitement is justified. But I don't think it has been properly tempered with the amount of time it's going to take for those markets to develop. China does not have a history or heritage of aviation, whether it's in design and manufacture. Virtually everything that's ever been built in China is a license built. It's not a design. That's changing now, but that's new. The airspace in China is still controlled by the military. So the idea of an individual flying around in their own airplane in China is like, whoa, this is kind of freaky. This will change, but it's going to take some time. India has massive infrastructure challenges. Again, they're starting to deregulate their airspace. They're starting to deregulate aircraft ownership. It will happen. There's other issues, and I won't go into all those details. But when you look at the opportunity as defined by the market in Russia, when you look at the aviation heritage of a company like Russia, because frankly, outside the United States, Russia has one of the greatest aviation heritages of any country in the entire world. And you look at the way the country's laid out and where they are in their development, the time is right for Russia and the time is right for Western Europe. So that's, from my standpoint, why Russia. Roel, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I can only add that we looked at three countries. We looked at the Czech Republic, we looked at Turkey, and we looked at Russia. And then we looked at universities, we looked at training facilities, flight academies, history, tradition, and very quickly, both Turkey and Russia surfaced to the top. Both have long, long histories. And if you then tie that to the commitment that we saw from the Russian authorities, Russia came out way ahead in being the lead partner for us to set up this partnership and this planned facility. So if you combine people, training, you know, universities, research, history, all that together, there are a number of fantastic locations in Russia that qualify. And right now, the city of Ulyanovsk is the leading candidate for this assembly plant.
So any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Our order book has gone up a little bit. It's about 2650 now. But keep that in mind, that that's in a period when we've now delivered well over 100 aircraft. And so our order book is sort of staying stable as opposed to going down, which, frankly, we thought this would be a period when it would go down, because today, if you order a new airplane as an individual, the earliest we're going to be able to deliver that to you is in early 2010. So that's actually a big barrier to us, and that's one of the other reasons for this partnership, is because it's going to help us just generally increase our volume worldwide and start to be able to get airplanes into the hands of people faster. That's one of our biggest competitive disadvantages today. So we simply can't deliver the airplane that people want fast enough. And that means they're having to go and accept a compromise with another airplane that they could get earlier. That's the biggest compromise. And so we expect to see that continue to grow, but that's about where it is today. Oh, I'm sorry. Geographic distribution is still predominantly North America, but the percentage of international is climbing very rapidly. And keep in mind, I would say the best description for our marketing and sales effort international is sort of a form of benign neglect. In other words, you want to send us a check, we'll take it. But other than attending a couple of trade shows, this last year we were in Geneva, Hong Kong, and Dubai. This next year we will be attending those shows and a couple of others. But we do not really have a presence outside of the United States other than, you know, showing up at a trade show. And that's kind of, to be really, really, really blunt, that's sort of a carpetbagger approach to selling aircraft. It doesn't work any more than somebody can come here to the United States and say, hi, I want to buy my thing that I make in, you know, somewhere else. You've got to have a presence. You've got to have people. You've got to have facilities. You've got to demonstrate commitment to the region. And that's what this partnership with eTurk does. And so that's why we're so excited about it, is that it is a way for us to accelerate our globalization of the company and basically our presence. Andrew? European certification is well in progress. It will be sometime in a very near future. In fact, we have a team from the European Certification Authorities, EASA, visiting us starting Wednesday this week. And so it's moving along. NG was an integral portion of that process. And so it's moving along. And we're not going to announce a specific date because we haven't really finalized one with EASA. And I don't want to put them in a position or put me in a position that... The world really aligns behind one of two certification authorities, airworthiness authorities, the FAA and EASA, with a couple of exceptions. Japan is one. You align your certification with one of those two. Russia is increasingly aligned behind EASA. And so EASA opens up certification possibilities in a lot of other countries in addition to the FAA certification. Russia is one of those, so is it an absolute prerequisite? No, but does it really help? Yes, it does, and so that's why we're moving forward on that. Rob? It could be one or the other or simultaneous. We have one of the experimental aircraft out. Where is it currently located? Missouri? Tennessee. It is on its eternal quest for bad weather. And in fact, we had a briefing this morning. We got some flights yesterday into one of the real extreme corners of the icing envelope, a high moisture content, small droplet size, which is one of the real tough icing conditions. Then it did just fine. It did more than just fine. It did great. And so we're ticking off those points. As I've always said, the in process of FIKI, flight into known icing, is very non-deterministic because it requires going out and flying in the real stuff. Starting with the Roselawn crash in Chicago about a decade ago, followed up by the crash in Detroit, the FAA has become very, 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 very strident with certification requirements for icing. It used to be you could do fly just sandpaper and funny shapes on the wing, and then you could fly behind a tanker that would spray ice. They won't let you do that anymore. You have to go out and fly in the real stuff, and it really does make the final stages very laborious and just not predictable. So we're in the right time of year, as we've always said. This is the time of year to do it, and we're getting some good results, but it'll be fine. So whether FIKI is finished before EASA or vice versa, I can't actually say because I just can't predict particularly FIKI. So any other questions? Well, you guys were very patient. I appreciate, once again, very much you coming out today, sharing this with us. Look around, enjoy, and if you have any other questions, I'd be happy to work with you afterwards. Thank you. Good day.
You can find out more by reading the company's press release on this announcement at www.eclipseaviation.com. Tomorrow, AeroNews Managing Editor Rob Finfrock has a chance to sit down one-on-one with Vern Rayburn for more details on this story. Make sure to join us then. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.